Satan is a master at deception. I mean, just ask Eve, just ask Judas, just ask David or Peter, or even me. Satan's ultimate goal is to lead your thinking away from God. His purpose is to turn you against your Heavenly Father, and he knows the best way to do that is to weasel his way into your mind. What you think determines what you do. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Etner, author, national speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode number 147. And in this episode, we continue our journey through chapter 7 of my book entitled, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. This week's episode is entitled, This is War. Make no mistake about it. We are at war. I'm not talking war against terrorism or the battle in Russia with Russia and Ukraine or anything like that. I'm not talking physical warfare here. Make no mistake. The battles we are engaged in make World War I and World War II combined look like a child's game. This is spiritual warfare I'm talking about. And at times, this war can seem overwhelming. Am I right? I mean, at times it feels like it's never going to let up. It's never going to end. But at times, let's face it, we feel like we just want to quit. Listen to what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. When you go out to war against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. Listen, as a Christian man, as a superman of God, you have been delivered out of the very pit of hell itself. Just read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, John chapter 1, verse 12, Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. You have been adopted into the family of the King of Kings. And as a prince of the throne of heaven, as Technon Theos, Son of God, as a superman of God, you have been given a crown and an unbelievable inheritance. But don't take my word for it. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 7. So listen, don't ever, ever let yourself listen to the lies of the enemy whispering to you that God doesn't care about your battle. The God's just standing back, sitting on the sidelines, allowing you to fight the fight of faith, and he's just there with his arms crossed over his chest, watching you flounder and be massacred. No, that just ain't going to happen, my friend. But again, don't take my word for it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before your enemy. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Paul declares, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. That's powerful stuff. Now, yes, you will struggle from time to time. You will experience the feelings of discouragement and thoughts like, am I ever going to be free of this? But understand, that's not a bad thing. It's not a sign that you've failed. That's the time, watch this now, that's the time that you need to get back up out of the mud and muck of life, plant your feet firmly in your faith, draw your sword, face the enemy head on, and resist him, shouting, bring it, because you shall not pass. James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that we are to submit ourselves to God, and while we're in the act of submitting ourselves to God, we are automatically then resisting the devil. And that gives us the promise that when we do that, the devil, listen, watch this now, the devil has to flee from you. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, if you put your faith and trust in Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary for your salvation, you are right here, right now, no matter your situation, you are technon theos, child of God. You are a superman of God, my friend. You can stand against the enemy, fight the enemy, and win. Okay, now it's time once again for me to read to you a short story that I wrote from chapter 7 of my book, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. So just listen, and I quote, Nemuel awoke in sheer panic. Bolting out of bed, he threw on his armor as quickly as he could. It was barely dawn. Thick wisps of fog engulfed the camp, making it hard to see. Sounds of organized chaos echoed around him as his friends emerged from their tents, tying their shoes, buckling their belts, and positioning their breastplates. They looked at each other, confused. The blast from the trumpet had rung out. The call to battle was unmistakable. But why? Then he saw it. Rubbing his eyes to be sure he wasn't seeing some apparition, a hand of ice gripped his heart as reality sank in. The rising sun revealed a terrifying sight on top of the ridge. Amalekites. Finding his regiment and dutifully falling into line, Nemuel tried hard not to throw up the ball of acid that was rapidly forming in the pit of his stomach. I'm too young to die, he thought. Looking at his brothers in arms around him, he knew they were thinking very similar thoughts. Gentlemen, shouted Aaron the priest. Today, you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. End of quote. Now, I've got a question for you. In your personal battle against sin, have you ever felt like Nemuel in the story I just quoted? Have you ever felt like tiny little David up against the big and mighty Goliath? Now, I want you to consider this. Has God ever changed? Is the almighty, all-supreme, ever-eternal, unchangeable God of the universe any different today than he was back in David's time or in Nemuel's day? The God who was with David in that epic battle against Goliath is the same God who is with you right here, right now. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 declares that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God says, I am the Lord and I do not change. Here's my point. The same power that God gave to David to defeat that giant in his life, God makes it available to you, that same power to combat the giant that is in your life. In the fictional story of Superman, we discover that his powers, his superpowers, come from his close proximity to Earth's yellow sun. Here's what I want you to think about in comparison. In real life, your ability to stand firm, your ability to resist the archenemy of your soul, comes from your close proximity to God's sun, S-O-N. God has promised to give you everything you need to fight this battle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Victory, listen, victory isn't something you have to manufacture. Hey, let's face it, we've tried that in the past and we've failed miserably, am I right? That's why we end up feeling so discouraged, so defeated. You picked up the sword, you tried swinging it at the enemy in your own strength, and you missed every time. When you and I try to take on the enemy in our own power, we will lose every time, guaranteed. Search your Bible. Search it from cover to cover, my friend. You won't find one single verse anywhere that says something like this, well, you are from great stock, for greater are you than he that is in the world. No. What you will find are these words from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are from God and have overcome your enemy. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I can vividly remember as a 5-year-old boy being absolutely terrified because I had wandered too close to a bee's nest. I remember as I'm standing there, those bees were quite unhappy about my presence. They began actively buzzing around my head, way too close for my comfort, and I stood there literally frozen in fear, with my eyes squeezed shut, terrified out of my skin. I heard my dad's voice saying to me softly, son, It's going to be all right. Look at me. I remember being way too scared to open up my eyes. So I whimpered something like, no, son. I think his voice was a little bit firmer than he said, look at me. Dutifully, slowly, I opened my eyes one at a time to see my dad standing just a few feet away. He was smiling, squatted down onto his knees, and he held out his hands. He said, now, just slowly walk toward me. If I remember correctly, I think I squeezed my eyes shut again and began shaking my head uncontrollably. I can't, Daddy, I can't. But he said again, do you trust me? I nodded my head, and I heard him say, then look at me and just start walking toward me. I know I was only 5 years old. It may have only been one or two bees, but it felt like the whole swarm. And I was terrified. I was scared of the impending doom. I was certain that was about to happen. But I took a tentative step toward my dad. I never took my eyes off of him. And surprise of all surprises, nothing happened. The bees didn't go ballistic and dive bomb me. They didn't plaster me with their poisonous stingers like I had imagined. So I took another step, and then another, again and again. I slowly inched my way forward until I was wrapped in my father's loving embrace. You know, as I think back upon that particular story in my life, I'm reminded of Psalm 118, verses 12 and 13. You see, David says there, they surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. Psalm 118, verses 12 and 13. Can you relate? Would you say that at times the temptations to sin had surrounded you like bees, were poking you like fiery thorns? Have you ever felt like the enemy was pushing you so hard that you were falling and failing? I assure you, my friend, that God is there to help you. And through his strength, you, a superman of God, can cut the enemy off at the knees. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, it says that David sang this song to the Lord on the day that the Lord rescued him from all of his enemies and from Saul. He sang this, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, my place of safety. He is my refuge, my Savior, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies." 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4. And a few verses later, in verse 40, we read this, "You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet." You may be familiar with the words of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where God says to Joshua, "Be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I love the promise of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7, which says, "The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven." Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. Listen, don't forget God's promise of Isaiah 41:10, where he said, "Don't be afraid, I am with you. Don't be discouraged, I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand," Isaiah 41:10. Fact is, Satan wants nothing more than for you and I to stay defeated, even though we've already won the victory through Christ. The arch enemy of your soul wants you to believe that you are really not a superman. You're no technon theos. He wants you to live in the false belief that no matter what, you cannot win the battle. You're defeated. Think about when he tempted Christ in the wilderness. How did Jesus defeat every single temptation the enemy threw at him? He could have simply said, "Back off, I'm God, leave me alone, you cannot tempt me. And Satan would have had to have obeyed. But Jesus didn't do that. With every temptation, he used Scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. So let's put our focus on what God has to say within the pages of Scripture about living in victory. For example, Psalm 68, verse 20 says, "Our God is a God of salvation. And to God, the Lord, belongs deliverance from death." God stands, according to Psalm 56, verse 13, God stands ready to deliver your soul from death. Yes, your feet from falling. Why? That you may walk before God in the light of life. Psalm 91, verse 2 says, "Say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust." Psalm 32, verse 7 says, "You, God, are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, Paul writes, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Psalm 18, verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And I love what David writes in Psalm 40, verse 17, as he says, "For me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You, God, are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." You may be very familiar with the words of Romans 8:37, where God promises us that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I absolutely love the expression "more than conquerors." We are more than conquerors. That expression is filled with so much power and encouragement. It's a phrase that means we haven't just won the battle. We've already won the war. It speaks of being an over-conqueror, more than a conqueror, winning the war with success to spare, ending up supremely victorious in every way. In short, it's about being a superman of God. Isn't that awesome? So I ask, why then? Why do we struggle with feelings of defeat and discouragement? Why do we often feel less than a conqueror when we've chosen to give in for the umpteenth time to our temptation? I suggest, could it be that we don't yet fully understand what it means to be more than a conqueror? Understand this, you cannot win the war on your own. According to Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors only through the power that Christ gives us. Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. He gives us that power, not because of any great and glorious thing we have done or are capable of doing, simply because of his amazing love, his mercy, his grace toward us. Now think about that for a moment. You and I will win the war against the archenemy of our soul because, as 1 John 4:4 says, we are from God and have overcome. For he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Listen, on my own, I will fail. I've proven that again and again and again. But here's the thing, truth be told, watch this now. I'm not on my own, and neither are you. Romans 8:31 declares, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You see, it's according to the riches of his glory that God strengthens you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, Ephesians 3:16. Never forget that God, only God, is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work right here, right now within us, Ephesians 3:20. So let me close out this week's episode with this promise from Psalm 50, verse 15. God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." So let me leave you with this thought. To know victory, talk to the victor. To be able to overcome, invest time with the overcomer. All right, let's hit the pause button until next week's episode as we continue our journey through my book, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. If you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry, let me encourage you to visit our website. There's a multitude of resources made available to you there. You can find the website at The Purity Coach. It's all one word, thepuritycoach.com. If you've not yet subscribed to this Point of Purity podcast, let me encourage you to do so today. We have a lot of great upcoming episodes, and I don't want you to miss a single one. So until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach Steve Etner, reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.